It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Okay, welcome back into the Labatt Studio, and it's quarter number three, which means it's time for Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Listener Dean with the number one question this week will receive a tailgate box, courtesy of 409tailgateclub.com. You'll get some rubs and sauces, and you will have to get a question that is good enough to be picked by Ross. So just remember, for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and 409 tailgate wine needs, go to 409tailgateclub.com. If you need barbecue, check them out. You won't regret it. Okay, Ross, I got six or seven of them. Are you ready?
Yeah. Hope they're good.
We're going to get to...
Five tops. Let's go. Let's do it.
Steve in Arlington, Virginia. Hey, Ross, do you think James Franklin...
Is this the same guy? I feel like we get...
There's a big Arlington following. We got a big...
We are big in Arlington. Are we on the radio in Arlington or something? We are big
not
in
yet.
Arlington.
Not
but
yet.
We do get a lot of questions from Arlington, Virginia. So you have to think government workers, Penn
this
State
This is how
graduates.
We don't get to five questions, by the way. This is prime example.
Okay, I'll start
Ross.
Again.
Does that really bother you, Bob?
We always try and shoot for the moon.
But who cares how many questions we get?
What do you guys think?
Let me ask you this. In terms of Penn State, none of us are Penn State grads, right?
No. I'm not. University of Scranton.
So I wonder if you did the breakdown of Philly, Pittsburgh, New York, D.C., what the breakdown is for Penn State grads, where they go after they graduate of those cities.
We're the biggest.
I feel like a decent amount go to D.C.
Yeah, I think it's a big one. So, all right, Steve in Arlington, Virginia asked, hey, Ross, does James Franklin feel any pressure, you think, to prove that he can win without Saquon Barkley and Joe Moorhead?
No.
No.
I mean, he didn't have either one of those guys last year. Does he mean win big without those guys? I think he's the head coach at Penn State. I think that they had their worst year last year in 3 years. I think he feels pressure, period. I mean, I think that's just the nature of the job, is that let's just say they went 7-6 this year. I think he would know that that's not good, and that the expectations at Penn State are that you win double-digit games. But I don't think Moorhead not being there or Saquon. Yeah. Saquon has nothing to do with it, I would say. And then the Moorhead thing, the only thing that's interesting about that is if Tommy Stevens starts at Mississippi State and has like an unbelievable year, that's a little different.
I just think, and like, I think I'm not going out on a limb here. I don't know that Penn State's ever going to have a runner like Saquon Barkley ever again. Why would you feel pressure? Because that was a one and done right there.
The counter argument would be they had Penn State's two best years in a long time. Saquon's 2 years, major years. Can Franklin really coach, or did he just have a once-in-a-generation player?
All right, there we go. It was a good question. Nick in Harrisburg, he said, Ross, during your
career— It was not a good question. Steve, you're not going to win. Don't listen to Andy.
Good enough for me. I'm not picking it. Nick asks, during your career as an NFL player and now a broadcaster, did you ever run into any of the Miami Hurricane players from the 1987 Fiesta Bowl game like Testaverde or Irving or any of the Michael Irving or any of those guys and get their perspective on the game? Do they still make excuses about losing, or as Shane Conlon said after the game, they didn't want to catch the ball, our defensive backs just came out and rocked them?
I definitely overlap with Vinny Testaverde, but I never talked to him about it. That's like a weird thing before the game to be like, hey, I wasn't on his team. Hey, Vinny, I know you're starting today. How about that 87 Fiesta Bowl? I will say this, though. I'll give you two things about it, okay? One is that I saw somewhere on Twitter recently where someone said, if you could be present at one sporting event ever, what would it be? And I think the 80 hockey USA over Russia is way up there for me.
Yeah.
But that 87 Fiesta Bowl, I mean, I was 7 years old. I was about to turn eight. I cried. I cried after they won, tears of joy. I was so happy. And the year before, I cried when they lost to Oklahoma.
Right.
In the Orange Bowl. So, like, if I could have been at that game, that would have, like, that's high for me. I also do a bunch of radio with a guy named Dan Cilio.
Miami who
was,
Hurricane.
Yeah, he was a D tackle on that team. And he has told me some unbelievable stories about that game. Like, I think he said, I don't want to misquote him. There was definitely a physical altercation after the game between Alonzo Highsmith and Vinny Testaverde, where Highsmith went after Vinny Testaverde because of all the interceptions. Right. I don't know if he punched him or what happened, but it got intense in the Miami locker room after that game. There was also, maybe it was Jerome Brown that punched Testaverde and Highsmith went after the coaches for not running the ball more. Because Penn State could not stop them running the ball.
Correct.
But Miami was like, no, we're Miami. We got Testaverde. He won the Heisman. They kept throwing it to Giftopoulos, two different Penn State guys. I would like to some point have like our boss Jim Galante on the show, and I'd like to go back and forth to see who could name more guys on that team.
You or him?
On that team, me or him.
I think Vinny Testaverde deserved to be punched after that, to be honestly. And I think probably they both went after him because that was – I mean, Penn State played awesome. But I think Miami must – I think they had close to 500 yards of offense, and he just –
I'll tell you this too. You go back and you look at that game.
Ray Isom.
In terms of the NFL, okay, in terms of the NFL,
yeah,
Penn State had Shane Conlon.
Right.
Now, I think like – I'm not counting Blair Thomas, who was the kick returner. DJ Dozier had like basically a cup of coffee in the NFL. Not much. I saw DJ Dozier playing baseball at the Reading Phillies.
There was a young Steve Wisniewski, I think, who started that game, who's now up on the ballot for the College Football Hall of Fame. So let's
Stan Clayton ended up playing like 5 years in the NFL. He was my offensive line coach at Princeton, actually. So I used to talk to him about that game all the time. He said he's from South Jersey. Stan got like a penalty or gave up a sack early in the game. And somebody called his parents' house in South Jersey, and they were like, "What's he doing? He's ruining the game! He's ruining the game!" He's like, "What are you calling our house?" So, but you look at Miami;
yeah,
it was like Daniel Stubbs, Jerome Brown, Benny Blades, Brian Blades, Michael Irvin, Alonzo Highsmith, Melvin Bratton, yeah. Perryman, Vinny Testaverde. Like Penn State had no business winning that game. What was the question about? Oh, have I ever talked to people? It's a great question. Who's that from?
That is from Nick in Harrisburg.
Nick, that's a Nick, great
congrats,
question.
Nick, congrats. Where should we send the basket?
You take me down memory lane, and I'm going to get pretty fired up about it.
You're listening to Ask Ross, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Go to 409tailgateclub.com for all your barbecue sauce, rubs, and 409 tailgate wine needs. We're coming to you from the Labatt Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, and always remember, drink blue and light. All right. Let's keep going with your questions. This is from Dominic in Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania. Do you think it will be wise to burn Lance Dixon and Brandon Smith's red shirt just to play on special teams or as mop-up linebackers?
I don't think that there are that many guys that stay 5 years anymore. That's an interesting story. Bob, you should do that. You have time on your hands. I do not. I want to know, like, how many scholarship fifth-year guys are on Penn State's team right now? Between Bates and Sharif and Kevin Givens going pro and all the guys that transferred, I mean, how many fifth-year guys really are there?
Gonzalez?
Yeah, and he thought about going pro.
Right.
Right?
It's not many. And the others that are
Johnny Patrician.
Yeah, they're not supposed to really factor in this year. I'm not sure where John Holland is in this world. I'm not sure if he's still on the team.
Bowers is a fifth year guy.
Nick Bowers is one. I think that if he stays healthy, for sure. But you can literally count on one hand,
right,
the guys that are in their fifth year that Penn State, I think, is counting.
So my point is knowing that, and knowing that they're very good, might even leave after 3 years. I play them. If they're my best special teams guys, I play them.
Right.
Because I'm trying to win this year, and the chances that they're there for a fifth year are going down by the year. Who is that from?
That is from Dominic in Cranberry Township.
Man, that was a really good question, too.
I spoke too soon.
We've got legit competition this week.
This could break it right here.
Andy, you picked some good ones.
Thank you. They ask them. I just read them and regurgitate what they ask. This one's from Tom in Yuma, Arizona. I really enjoy listening to podcasts. Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. Ross, in last week's fourth quarter segment, you all discussed the fact that Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State were elite teams while everyone else was either good or great. My question is, aren't these elite teams because they have elite head coaches or have had elite head coaches? What do you think James Franklin has to do to become elite? And who becomes elite for their team first? Would it be Franklin or Harbaugh?
Well, so that's interesting. That I'm glad he framed it that way, because I think a lot of people think that Jim Harbaugh is an elite coach because of what he did at San Diego and Stanford and with the Niners. And even Michigan's better than it was when he took over. So there's an example of a guy that people think is an elite coach, but his program has not been elite yet since he's been at Michigan. So that's a really good example of that. And I think if you just look at it on paper, I think you can make an argument that Franklin's an elite coach, but the program's not there yet. Like, nobody thought Dabo Swinney was an elite coach until Clemson got over the hump and actually won some of those games and didn't Clemson it away.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Nobody, and even Ohio State, I don't know. I mean, he won a national championship there, but Saban's an elite coach. I just think you look at what Franklin did at Vanderbilt, and he combined it with what he did at Penn State. It's pretty impressive, man. I mean, what was Penn State the year before he took over? 500?
That was Bill O'Brien's 2013 team. I think they went 7-5, I think.
Right.
And that was with the win at what they beat Wisconsin to get, I think, the 7-5. It's going to be real hard, just real quick, for Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State to all be elite programs because they're all in the same division. It's almost a mathematical impossibility, because if you're elite, you're always in the conversation, and there's always going to be at least – there's two teams are going to be on the outs.
It is impossible. You're right, because we're not going to consider you elite unless you win the Big Ten and you go to college football playoff, and only one team can really do it. The winner is – I'm going to go with 87 Fiesta Bowl.
Yes.
Down memory lane. You take me down memory lane, you got a good shot. I'm just telling you.
All right. Let's see. How many did we get to? One, two,
four.
Three, four. The five was the over-under, Ross. We only got to four.
Always bet the under.
All right. Congratulations.
You know what, I can
rig it, right? Yeah. Congratulations to Nick in Harrisburg, 409tailgateclub.com. Tailgate box is coming your way for the top question this week. That'll do it for Ask Ross. We're going to talk about Julian Fleming's recruiting in quarter number four. That'll do it. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.